You are tuned to KBBI AM 890 Homer, and you're listening to The Coffee Table. I'm your host, Aaron Bolton, and today we are talking about the ballot proposition for the new police station coming up for a special election later this month. And in the studio with me, I have City Council members Donna Adderhold and Heath Smith, and we also have Homer Police Chief Mark Roble. So thanks for joining me, guys. And so we're going to be going through several pieces of information about the new police station, which is coming up for special election on June 26th, and it's for a $5 million bond. And so as we go through that, listeners, you can give a call with your questions, and that number is 235-7721. You can also email info@kbbi.org, and if you want to call toll-free, you can call 800-979-5224 and just give us a call with your questions, and you can ask our guest here in the studio about the new police station. And so I just wanted to start with the need for a new police station. And actually, I was able to go and take a tour last week and check out some of the needs. But Chief Roble, I wanted to ask you, I mean, it seems like space is the number one, but there are several needs from the old police station.
Well, definitely space is number one. We ran out of space in the early to mid-90s and started making do with Conexes out back and wooden buildings and storing things in very inappropriate places. So we've been out of space for a long time. We don't have enough space for department meetings. Our exercise and training needs aren't being met there. Several space needs. But some of the other needs are the building was poorly designed to start with, I think, for a police station. We have unsafe conditions when prisoners are visiting with attorneys or with family members because of the way that prisoners have to be moved through open spaces in the building. We have some health concerns because the way the air system was installed, it sends air throughout the building that's breathed by prisoners and staff alike, and we know from statistics that most prisoners have some type of communicable disease on board that's airborne, and it's a very hazardous condition. There's a lot of other needs as well. The building wasn't designed for the modern computer age. Consequently, we have Cat5 cables, those computer cables running next to antenna cables, running next to power lines. We have a lot of interference because of those issues. Our modern electronics, there's a lot more of it than there was in 1979 when that building was built. And those electronics generate a lot of heat. They're susceptible to dust problems, and we don't have a proper climate-controlled space for the modern electronics we have today. And, you know, the list can just go on and on.
Yeah, and actually, I pulled a reduced version of our tour. It was about half an hour last week that it's been over there, but I got it down to about 4 minutes here. So if we want to just go ahead and take a listen to that and just kind of highlight some of the needs.
It's just an example of one of our electronics rooms. It contains part of the radio system, some of the recording equipment used on our phone lines and on our radio channels. The whole building was built in 1979. The whole building was not designed for the computer age. They didn't even think about computers in the workplace in 1979. So we have exposed cable runs all over the place. We'll have Cat5 cables running alongside power cords and antenna cables, a lot of interference problems because of those issues, and overheating problems. This room isn't ventilated. We keep the doors open to ventilate it, and what happens? Everything gets dirty, and then you start having some premature equipment failures because of the dirt problem. These are visitation rooms for the jail. So what you have is the prisoner goes in one side, the visitor on the other. They talk through the handset. That's pretty standard in jails. It still is today. The problem with ours is, if you look, the jail cells are down that hall through that door. So when a prisoner has a visitor, you have to escort them out of the jail, through a workspace where they'd have access to employees. They can turn in one direction, run out the back door of the building. Very unsafe workflow for a police department to have a situation like this. In the new jail, if it's built as designed, obviously, you know, your prisoners will never leave the jail area. We have a big need on our property for secure parking for police vehicles. We don't have an impound yard of any type, and so we have a need for that too, somewhere where we can securely secure vehicles that might have to be processed for evidence. You know, they were used in a crime somehow, in the commission of a crime, and we have to store them until that case goes to court. Right now we have to put vehicles like that in a commercial yard here in town, and we get charged for that. This is our evidence processing lab. This is where we try to develop trace evidence or stabilize evidence so that it can be transported to the crime lab for further examination. Over the years, parts of the city server have moved in here. Parts of the radio system, as radio systems got more complicated and technical, have moved in here. And this room is probably a third the size of what we really need. There's a lot of evidence processing equipment that's available. It's not very expensive. We can even get grants for it, but we don't have enough room for it. We're just out of room here. Consequently, when we send evidence to the crime lab to get processed, unless it's a serious felony, it goes on the back burner, and sometimes it never gets processed at the crime lab. So that affects our solve rate on cases. It goes down. You know, having a bigger evidence room, fully equipped, will definitely enable us to do a better job at solving some of our local crimes.
And so that was just a short little bit from our tour last week. But we were also talking further a little bit about the jail layout now. And, you know, kind of here in that interview, Chief Roble, you were talking about, having to pull prisoners out in order to get into the visitation rooms. But then the current jail is also limited by not having a juvenile holding cell. That's another big issue for the jail right now.
That's correct. We don't have a proper cell for holding juveniles. Juveniles, when the need does arise to hold one, they need to be kept in complete sight and sound separation from adults. We can't do that in our current jail, so most of the time when we're holding a juvenile, we're actually violating some type of federal law. Other problems in the jail with cell space is we also need to try to maintain sight and sound separation for female prisoners. Right now, the only way we can do that is by closing the doors to their cell. It's a service door that they get their food and drinks through, and putting a screen up over the window. That can try heavily on some of the female prisoners, and it adds to some of the many inefficiencies there at the jail.
Okay, and then also, you know, you were kind of talking about it in the interview, as far as when you bring people in to book them, you also have to bring them back through that same hallway, that working area where their office is right there. But then they're also, you're transporting them in an open parking lot, and you said you've had some people that have actually attempted to escape.
Yeah, that's correct. In the new facility, the plans are calling for a sally port. A sally port is basically an enclosed garage. You drive inside of it, close the door. Then you get the prisoners out of the vehicle, and they're escorted directly into the jail. They never go into a non-jail space. And having that type of control really helps with someone that's violent and acting out, helps us to get them safely into the jail where they're not hurting themselves or hurting anyone else.
Okay. And we were also talking about its, you know, the site itself that the old, you know, the current police station sits on also has a lot of drainage issues. The high school parking lot is about 5 feet above the lot that the police station sits on. And you said that comes with a lot of drainage issues. You guys typically have flooding in the building.
That's correct. You know, in a big snow year, when those piles get built up in the high school parking lot, all that water, when it turns into water in the spring anyway, runs downhill, and we're in the path. Most breakups cause some type of water problem in the jail. We've had standing water in all the cells at one time in the past. Didn't happen this year. We had a fairly light snow load, but it has been a significant problem for us.
And you mentioned last week that it, you know, even in the cells, most of the time you said you were able to if there's flooding in the cells, you were able to shift prisoners around in order to clean stuff up. But sometimes prisoners have had to sit in a cell with some water in it.
That's right. It has happened in the past where the cells are full and we don't have anywhere to move people to, so they end up with some water on the floor.
And so the new station, I mean, space obviously number one, but what are some of the other features that it's going to come with that'll help with some of the current issues over at the old station?
Well, obviously it's going to be on a new piece of property. And of course, Public Works engineer Kerry Meyer is going to go to great lengths to ensure we don't have those type of drainage issues anymore. And we should correct a lot of other problems just by being on a new piece of property.
And we were talking last week about like how long this would serve the police department. And, you know, at the beginning of the iteration of the city working towards building a new police station, there was a need study that looked out, what was it, 30 years? And what was found that as far as the police station goes, for the needs 30 years out?
You know, the need study is something that some people don't agree with. You know, there's disagreement over how much the population's going to grow here and what the needs of the police department are going to be. But I think it's safe to say with this $7.5 million proposal we're looking at, that it's going to meet the needs of the police department in Homer for several decades to come. I fully expect to see it functioning properly for 40 or 50 years.
Okay. And, you know, and at the old station, when we were, I remember in particular, we were in the dispatch room and you said you only have two stations and you'd essentially like to see four dispatch stations. You know, if the new station comes with ideally four stations, I mean, would we be seeing more dispatchers or more police employees or employees at the police station coming on board with just more space available?
You know, it'll give us room to add more dispatchers in the future if that need arises. Right now, we're fairly well staffed in dispatch, but we do have a need for extra positions. With two positions, we can work two dispatchers at a time, but sometimes we have an employee in training. That's quite common. An employee in training needs their own counsel with their trainer next to them. So that's three positions. If we add a fourth position, then we have a backup counsel, fully functional, ready to go in case one of the others goes down with an equipment problem.
And Ed, if we've had problems with that before or in the past as far as a station going down and not functioning correctly and essentially being overloaded? Or
oh, absolutely. You know, at least a couple of times to sometimes even several times a year, one of the positions will crash for one reason or another. And it takes IT or, in some cases, someone from the borough that's familiar with the 911 system to come down and fix it.
Okay. And will the new police station come with, you mentioned an impound lot that the old current police station does not have and that, you know, you guys have to store vehicles at local lots in town. And you mentioned if you need to hold a vehicle for investigative purposes, that is something the police station gets charged for, and that it, you know, it can take up 6 months to even a year for a case to kind of get its day in court. Does the new police station come with an impound lot, or will that still be an issue?
No, the new police station will have enough room for an impound yard. And one of the best features for us that we're really interested and excited about is a vehicle evidence processing garage. This will be a space where we can pull a vehicle in after it's seized, keep it in a climate-controlled room, and process it for evidence in a proper fashion.
Okay, and just real quick, I want to remind listeners, if you have a call or a question about the new police station, the current police station, or anything related to the special election, you can give a call to 235-7721. You can always email us at info@kbbi.org. And if you want to call toll-free, you can call 800-979-5224. Just give us a call with your questions. And we were talking about just the impound lot, and the new station does come with that. I mean, how many vehicles do you deal with a year that you have to hold on to for investigative purposes?
You know, it certainly varies, but I think right now we have 5 vehicles in long-term impound. And we typically get a vehicle in for evidence processing as much as once a week is not uncommon.
Okay, and how much, you may not have an exact figure, but how much does that cost the station per year as far as to store vehicles that need to be stored?
I think our bill for storage last year was about $6,000 or $7,000.
Okay, and I mean, does the new station come with a lot of savings, small savings as far as $6,000 here, $6,000 here that the old current station can't provide, just beyond vehicle impounds or any extra costs that are associated with the older building?
I think that's the most significant one I can think of right now. We're definitely going to save some money, though, when it comes to training, because when we can train more officers at a time than we're able to now because of space limitations, we save money. You're only paying that instructor for 2 hours instead of having to come back and do another 2-hour section. It all adds up.
Okay, and so I don't want to forget Donna or Heath over here, and kind of move over to the council's work on this project. And the big thing has been cost, and there's been several iterations that the council has worked through, and I don't know if either of you want to kind of explain, where we started on this project initially with the first iteration. If I recall correctly, it was a combined police and fire station. Whoever wants to take that one.
Yeah, I think that started actually before either Heath or I were on council. There was a public safety building task force that was established, and they were looking, they kind of honed in on the location of the old Homer Middle School, the Herc site, and incorporating the existing building into a portion of the police station with an add-on for the primary human occupied space, and then with the ability to add on in the future for a fire station.
Okay, and that eventually turned into a police station at the Herc, correct? Was that the kind of second idea or iteration of?
Well, that was what I was just talking about. That's kind of what they ended up honing in on, was going to be the police station that the existing building would have been used for evidence storage. Processing, that kind of thing, as far as I understand, and then a newer building would have been attached to that would have been the actual, where the people would have occupied.
Okay, and was that the project that ended up resulting in that $12 million bond proposition that went on the ballot in 2016?
Correct.
Okay. And I was speaking with Carrie Meyer last week about the kind of the several iterations of the project, and it was a vastly different economic environment when this was going through. And he said that it wasn't unheard of for the state to help cover 75% of a public project at the time. And as we all know, the state's fiscal woes have trickled down to communities around the state. And so now we're, you know, what are we working with now? I mean, the city has been able to come up with about $2.5 million for this current project. And I know Heath was a big part of that. If you want to explain kind of where some of those funds have come from.
Well, first of all, council worked together to get that money to where it is now to make it available for the project. So I'm going to credit council with that. We divested the permanent fund that we had established some years ago. That was prior to Donna and I again. But that money was not really earning enough money to justify it just sitting there. And, you know, the intent was that get used for the benefit of the community. And as this is our top project and has been for a number of years now, we felt like that money could be well used for that. And so what it would then do would reduce the tax burden of the people when we brought it to bond and help, you know, show that we're doing everything we can to make it work and use their money that we've already collected in the best way. And there was a couple other pockets of money in the budget that, again, we felt like it wasn't being poorly used, but it could be better used. And so it's a better, best type of a situation, and we decided that if we applied it to this project, then that would help us succeed in getting the community the facility that it needs.
Okay, and you know, and I've seen several on social media and elsewhere, just you know, kind of asking a question like, well, why can't we just pay for it? Why couldn't the city just pay for it? And the concern, you know, at least sitting through a lot of these meetings, seemed to be drawing down the general fund too far. I mean, if you kind of want to explain, like, why couldn't we just, you know, charge that $7.5 million to a general fund rather than, you know, levying a 0.35% sales tax?
Well, we have a lot of needs within the city. I mean, it's not just one department. We have several departments that we have to make sure that we have money in the bank to fund activities, and whether it's we need to go out and buy a dump truck for $500,000 or a pump truck for $397,000. If we just draw down our general fund balance to where we can't function or adjust to any kind of changing condition that might require that we have money in the bank, then that's not a prudent, you know, path. So we have to have some savings. We have to be willing and ready to respond to fiscal needs that crop up. So to me, that's not an option. It's not a smart one. We have a lot of moving parts, and we have to be able to respond to those needs.
Yeah, and originally, this latest task force, and it was I think just about a year ago, they gave their recommendations, and that's when the attention shifted to the Waddell site, that piece of property just up the hill from the post office. And originally, the council had asked the task force to come up with a $6 and $8 million option. And then through a series of meetings, we've gotten to our $7.5 million option now. And the council was leaning towards that $6 million option originally. And if you want to explain, like, how did we get from the $6 million to the $7.5 million as far as cost-wise? It was a lot of features that were seeming to be missing from the $6 million option.
Well, originally, I mean, I took a pretty hard stand. I wanted to know what we could get for $6 million, because unless we see that on paper and have an understanding of what it gets you or what it does not get you, then how can we really base our decision on good information? And so once we got that information, it became very clear that it would be deficient, that it would not provide for our current needs or what we're going to need in the near future. If you look at the last station, the one that's standing now, that was built in 1979, but only half of the building was there. By 1983, they doubled it. They raised the roof and doubled the space. I don't want to be in a position now to where we build something and 4 years later or 7 years later, we're going to have to do it all over again. There's a reasonable future that we need to build for. And I think that it's good that we go through the process and show the people that we've explored the options and that we're going to get to a place that is comfortable and it fits and it's affordable.
Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, and I will just add to that with the $6 million option, the building that was presented to us at a whatever, 10% design, was a one-story facility that would have been very difficult to add on to it in sometime in the future. So with the building design that we're working towards now will be sort of a daylight basement type of structure that will be much easier to add on to later if there are expansion needs.
Yeah, and I was talking to Carrie Meyer, the Public Works Director, last week about that and the advantages of a daylight basement now versus the larger one-story footprint. And he had explained that with that single-story design with the potential future to add a second level to it, that there will always, the downside to that is there's always one side of the building that will be more expensive to expand on a sloping site, and it also comes with a larger footprint as far as on the property and limited ability to expand in any direction. But the daylight basement, it seemed like in your guys' discussions through the work sessions that it also included in the cost of that daylight basement also came with some of those features. And we talked a little bit about it earlier, but Roble, if you kind of want to run down each feature, I guess, that that $6 million design was missing and kind of what the value of those were.
Well, I'll try to remember them all, actually. But one of the big things that was missing out of the $6 million option was an EOC, Emergency Operations Center, that we can use to respond to, major community disasters or events. So the $7.5 million option has that. The $7.5 also has more of that room for training and some of our meeting needs that the $6 million option did not have. It includes the vehicle evidence processing lab, too. And that's a very important one for us.
Okay, and as we talked about before, it also includes the new design does include a cell for female prisoners as well.
Yes, it includes a little bit of expanded room in the jail, and that Sally port that's very important.
Okay, and in a big conversation about at that point moving from that $6 million. Option was, if I remember correctly, was a roughly 9,000 square foot building, and then we're moving up to a roughly 12,000 square foot building, including that daylight basement. And Heath, a big concern for you was ongoing maintenance costs.
Well, yeah, every square foot you have in a building takes a little bit of money to maintain, and so that's just one of the things that I wanted to make sure that as we brought it to the voters, they understood the increased costs of maintaining and operating a larger facility, and that was a component that was taken into consideration.
And this building, do you remember what it costs over the current police station building to maintain?
Oh,
I think it was roughly, what was it, like $80,000?
$82,000, I think, something like that.
Yeah, and I was talking with Carrie Meyer about this last week, and Meyer had explained that while the cost is higher, that the newer building will be more efficient. Maybe Chief Roble can speak to this, but a newer building will quite obviously be more efficient to maintain as far as compared to the old building. If you want to, I don't know, are there difficulties in kind of ongoing maintenance costs with that older building?
Well, there's certainly a lot more ongoing maintenance costs just due to its age right now. I mean, we've got windows that leak from time to time and roof leaks, and all those things are going to go away. We're still burning diesel fuel at the police station for heating, so the new building should be on natural gas and hopefully be built to a higher energy efficiency standard. So better insulation will require less heat, and more efficient lighting should lower costs as well.
And, and as far as, funding the bond, which the city is asking for a $5 million bond, you guys had gone back and forth, the council had gone back and forth on a seasonal sales tax versus versus a year-round sales tax, which is the option I ended up choosing. And I guess if you guys want to talk a little bit about that decision as far as choosing the best tax option, at least going with the sales tax and then going with the year-round option.
Well, I mean, this went through a lot of different ideas. I think that the sales tax option became the best one because if you look at property tax, I mean, almost 45% of the assessed value of land within the city is non-taxable. And yet everybody in that tax structure benefits from the service. And sales tax also captures tax revenue from people that visit, from the outlying areas to our tourists in the summer, all of which enjoy the benefits of the police and what they provide here in our community. So to me, it just made the most sense. And the year-long versus the seasonal, it came down to simplicity. We didn't have to worry about people changing the way that they collected tax at different times of the year or splitting up quarters, and it made it more complicated.
Okay, and and as far as the tax itself, the way it's structured is, if you guys want to explain that, it's the 0.3% or 0.35% total, but a portion of that will maintain itself once the bond is paid off. Donna or Heath?
Yeah. So the bulk of the tax, the 0.3 portion, is to pay down the bond, and then the 0.05 portion would be for ongoing maintenance. So that's the portion of the tax that will stay on with the building.
Okay. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I think it's important that we're trying to get to a point where when we pay for this, the 0.30 sunsets. So that's in the ballot language. It's what's being voted on, and I want the voters to understand is that once that bond is paid off, that 0.30 comes off the books, and all that's going to remain is the 0.05, which will fund the ongoing maintenance and operations, as Donna said.
And what is the term for the bond?
It's a 20-year bond.
Okay.
So, and we collect a little bit more during that time just to buffer any kind of, you know, down years. So if we have an off season, then what happens is that we've collected enough to make sure that we make that bond payment because we make an obligation to pay it. And so there's a great chance that we pay that off early. And if that's the fact, then that 0.30 comes off the books early.
Okay. And is there any estimate of is that something that's hard to guess as far as how early that could be? Or,
well, we can't predict our tax returns or revenues, so it's a 20-year bond, and if it's earlier, then that's what we're all hoping for.
Okay, and I just want to remind listeners, if they have a question, they can call 235-7721. If you want to call toll-free, you can call 800-979-5224. You can always email info@kbbi.org. As well. And so the special election for this is coming up later this month on June 26th. And there was some discussion on the council as whether or not to wait until the October ballot. And so what was the reasoning behind the decision to go with an election this month?
Well, Donna and I we're the senior council members, if that's as crazy as it sounds. It's been not even 3 years. So we've been working on this the entire time that we've been seated on council, and it was worked on a couple years prior to that. We're now to a point to where we have a council that is united with the project and fully approved on what we're working towards, along with Chief is on board. And if we want to break ground in the spring, then we need to have voter approval now so that we can start to work to that 100% design and get everything in line. If we waited until October, I think that the process probably would have pushed us into summer, and we would have lost part of our construction season.
Okay, and we have a caller on line one. Ted, you're on the comp table. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to had a question for the when the old building is retired and you're moving into the new building, is there any income or revenue that could be generated from the sale or lease of the old building to help cover the expense of of maintenance are put into the fund to recover some of that in the new building?
Well, I think that there are a number of things that we can do, but and that is for the council to decide. We haven't decided that yet. As far as revenue, I guess there's a possibility there. But I was thinking, and this is just a thought, is that we have our maintenance people that are at the old Herc site in the old dilapidated building that looks like it needs to go away, and it probably should. But that's 25% of the cost of the operations over there on a yearly basis. If we can mothball that and maybe move them into that building, then that could be a way of utilizing it and saving some money on the Herc site.
And as far as the old station, I know it's been discussed briefly during council meetings, but as what have the discussions been about potentially using that for extra space? I know the idea was thrown around as far as creating a smaller new police station and then using some of that site for other police operations such as evidence storage. I don't know if Robel, if you want to speak to that.
Well, it would pose some difficulties for us. If we tried to keep prisoners up there, then we'd have to keep employees up there. And right now, you have to realize that our dispatchers are backing up the jail officers. If a jail officer has to go to court, the dispatchers are monitoring prisoners by a video link. The dispatchers are patting down prisoners when they come in, such as female dispatchers pat down female prisoners. So if we had a big separation there, some things just wouldn't work right, and I think you'd end up having to hire extra employees. When it comes to evidence storage, it's vital for us to protect the chain of custody of evidence for courtroom purposes. The best way to do that is to keep all the evidence on one site where it's under lock and key at a site that's constantly manned 24/7.
Okay. And we have another caller on line two. Donna, you are on the coffee table. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. Thanks so much for the show. I currently don't live in the city limits, but I have over the 34 years I've been here. And I guess basically I just want to speak to the voters, because in this current financial situation the state's in and all of our communities are in, everybody's just really clamping down and saying no to taxes. And I think it's time for people to realize that those that came before paid the taxes that afforded everything that you enjoyed growing up, schools, all of those things that... it's our turn to provide for those coming up the ranks. And so we've needed this station for a very long time. I have been in there due to the work I did in this community for 10 years, and we need to treat our officers with the kind of respect nobody wants to pay, but until they need the police at their door for whatever reason it might be, I just really want people to open their minds and hearts and look at what we're doing here. And you guys are doing a great job, and I appreciate it.
Alrighty, thanks, Donna, for the call. And any of you have a response to Donna's comment?
Well, I appreciate that comment. Thank you, from one Donna to another. Just to add on to that, I mean, the voters in the city of Homer will be the ones who vote on this, but this facility, it's a community jail. The jail supports the whole Southern Kenai Peninsula. And our police force supports the entire Lower Kenai Peninsula. So this really is a community facility, and it's very much needed.
And she was making a comment about as far as the tax and people clamping down and saying no to taxes, and when we were talking a little bit about the 0.35% tax earlier, and it sounds like there was a conversation at least at the council level as far as trying to also get out ahead of any potential revenue options on the borough ballot, and was that a concern as far as the council trying to get that on the ballot before this fall?
Well, I, I would like the voters to make a decision about what's best for Homer. It wasn't necessarily so much about what the borough's doing as much. I mean, they have to figure out what's going on there. We're members of the borough. We need to pay our taxes in regard to that. But I think that an isolated ballot that deals specifically with the needs of Homer and us making a decision solely on that is important. And that lends to the credibility of what we're thinking about. We're not distracted by other things on the ballot.
Okay. And, you know, and there was a lot of question about I've seen it on social media as far as a 0.35% sales tax. I mean, do you think that's digestible for the community of Homer with, you know, already having a sales tax at 7.5? Do you think that's something people can swallow? Because, you know, there was the $12 million bond option that had failed previously. And it sounded like that factored into your guys' discussions moving towards that.
Well, you know, that ballot proposition only failed by like 73 votes. And so it was not, I mean, we were largely divided on that. And so, you know, when you look at the changes and the adjustments that we've made to what we're bringing back to the voters, I think it's very reasonable to expect that it's something that will fit. And, I mean, different location, different size, different cost. And 0.35 is 35 cents on every $100. So, I mean, I have five kids living at home. My grocery bill is not especially cheap. And multiply that by everything else that we do. But 0.35 is not enough to break the bank. I mean, the most you're ever going to spend in one single transaction is $1.75 because it caps at $500. And so I think it's reasonable considering what we're getting in return. The good men and women that serve in our police department are facing people on their worst day. It's a high-stress job, and I think that facility needs to reflect how we feel about them and the job that they do within our community. So when you put all that together, I think it's more than reasonable.
Okay, and we have another caller on line one. Scott, you're on the coffee table. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you guys for doing this. Hey, I just wanted to ask if you guys are going to have to acquire any more land for vehicle storage or parking or anything like that, or are you just going to be on the lot that's directly behind the post office?
Alrighty, thanks, Scott, for your question.
Our plan is to stay on the lot directly behind the post office. Right now, I don't see a need to have to acquire additional space. Could that change 30 or 40 years down the road? That's a possibility. It's so hard to predict the future that far in advance, but this lot should serve our needs for a long time.
And I just want to remind any other callers with questions, we have about 14 minutes left. You can call 235-7721, or you can call toll-free at 800-979-5224. Again, 800-979-5224. You can always email info@kbbi.org. And, you know, and as far as that question is, you know, do we need to acquire any more space? And you mentioned a timeline of 30 to 40 years. But it sounds like the benefit of what's been known as the Waddell site is it's roughly 1.5 acres, if I remember Kerry Meyer correctly. But, you know, is it going to allow for expansion both building or with the building or any other, you know, property needs at least for, you know, the next 15 to, you know, 10 to 15 years?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the big benefits of going to the two-story building. You know, we reduce the square footage footprint on the lot that the building's going to occupy, so you have some more room on that lot to be able to add on to. Right now, we're planning on a parking area that's going to hold approximately 10 vehicles in impound if we need to, and that will exceed our current need. So there's some growth room for the future right there.
Okay, and we have just a few minutes left, so if listeners want to give us a call, please do so now. You know, as far as, you know, speaking to voters, you know, at least from the council perspective or even Chief Roble, I mean, what is the biggest thing you want to remind voters going into the special election?
Well, just that, first of all, we want you to vote. We know it's on a short timetable, but it's an important issue. And personally, I would like us to come out and and be, I don't want a split community on this. I want people to get behind it and say we can afford it, and it's for a good reason. And I think that at the end of the day, if you look at the genetics of our council, we come from all different walks of life, and we represent the political spectrum in its fullest. And if we can all come together and agree on this project, then I don't think it's too much of a reach to say that those that supported us at the polls could support it as well.
All right, and it looks like we have another caller on the line. Jan, you're on the coffee table. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. I have a question for the chief. I'm looking at Facebook, and you know how the rumors get flying on there. And there's people that think the new facility will have an indoor swimming pool. I know the chief better than that. And it'll have an indoor shooting range. And I would like him to address those rumors. Okay? Thank you.
Sorry, no indoor swimming pool and no indoor shooting range. The shooting range was a real desire of mine to start with in early on in this project, but it just proved to be too expensive. We just can't afford that, so it's gone away. But there's really no extravagance in this building. I haven't seen a final design yet. You know, personally, I'm not into fancy siding and architectural features. I think this building should be Spartan and utilitarian and serve the need that it needs to serve and not do anything else other than that.
And I remember seeing, you know, a list as far as you kind of categorized your list of needs, you know, urgent, essential, and there were, you know, spreadsheets as far as showing each funding level, kind of what that gets you. But as far as this design as it stands now, what are some of the I guess wants or slash needs that haven't been included in the design that you originally went into this project with?
You know, I think we've hit essential and urgent completely. I really can't think of any other critical needs that aren't being met by this new design. I think this is a design that, again, it's going to serve us for decades into the future and should serve the future of Homer very well.
Okay. And for those, you know, going to the polls, when does early voting start?
Early voting starts next Tuesday, which is June 11th. And that's at City Hall at the clerk's office.
Okay. And is there mail-in as well? Do we know if there's mail-in voting for this?
There should be.
Yeah, I think it, you know, should be the same as any other election. I think you can request a mailed ballot.
Okay. And then the election itself is on June 26th. And it looks like we have one more caller on the line. Ralph, you're on the coffee table. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, good morning. First, I want to thank the council members and the chief for coming together on this and really pushing for essential safety services. I think one of the things that I've run into when I look at the chatter on social media and talk with friends and so forth is more a misunderstanding of what our police station really is and how expensive they really are to build according to current standards and code requirements and so forth, and that we are not proposing a Taj Mahal is the word that we've always seemed to attach to building projects in the city. To me, to put it in Homer terms, this is not a Bowpicker or a Gilmetter type of building. This is a tender or a processor type of building. It has a lot of systems built into it, some required and some very necessary for the safety of all occupants, whether they're incarcerated or being processed or regularly employed there. My question is, given some of the other projects that we build, for example, the library is in its basic start off was $8.8 million. And without getting into other projects, is there a backup plan if the bond proposition doesn't pass, is there a backup plan for funding? Are we looking at cutting back in other areas to fund essential basic services like this?
All right. Thanks, Ralph, for your question. And we have roughly, I just wonder, we have about 6 minutes, so if we want to, we have one more caller on the line, so if we can hopefully get through.
Well, I think the plan is that we let the voters speak to what we've proposed to them, and then we move forward from that point on. I appreciate the question, and I know that people have a lot of different ideas, and we're 5 years into the process, and ideas keep coming. And at some point, we have to kind of pick a road forward and then gauge the waters through a ballot, and then if we need to change course, then we do that.
Okay, and we have one last caller on the line. Debbie, you were on the coffee table, and we have just a couple minutes left, so if you can keep your question brief.
All right, thank you, Aaron. This is Debbie Speakman, the Executive Director of the Chamber. Want to thank Chief Robel and Donna for taking the time this morning. At our last board meeting, we did have a resolution to support this police station. It's important for our small businesses and for the climate of things going on in Homer. So thank you to the City Council for coming together and compromising and coming up with a plan that I think is really beneficial for Homer.
All righty. Thanks, Debbie, for your comment. And before we go, is there anything else that you guys would like to express to listeners or voters as the election comes up in just a couple of weeks?
Please vote on June 26th or absentee vote, and please vote yes.
I'll just say that the information that you base your decision on is really important. And so if you're going to gauge it off the Facebook feeds, then you probably might be misdirected. So my phone number and my email are public record, and I would invite anybody that has any concerns or questions to give me a call personally, and I'll be more than happy to take the time to discuss it with them and address those questions. And again, yes, vote yes.
And I'll reiterate that I'm certainly available, and if anybody wants to call or email me, I can chat about anything related to the police station or any other city issue.
And there is a public information page up on the city's website as well. So there is some public information, and we will be covering the police station heading up to the special election as well. So you can always head over to kbbi.org and click on local news as well. And you've been listening to The Coffee Table, and in the studio with me, I had Homer Police Chief Mark Robel and Homer City Council members Heath Smith and Donna Adderhold. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Thank you.